Thank you, music group. Thank you, Clive. Okay, hopefully you've got Matthew 6 open in front of you, page 978 in the church Bible. If you haven't got a Bible and you want one, they're available at the back there. Just put your hand up and someone will rush one to you. So, welcome back to our teaching series called Money Counts, which is part of our 2017 theme for the year, A Year of Living Generously. I just wonder, have you begun to be more generous this year? More generous in Jesus? And have you discovered more joy by being generous? So far in this series, Money Counts, we've learned some basic principles. The series really is front-loaded with lots of principles. Before we go into the practical question, which some of you have already asked me, how much do I give? That comes at the end. We've got to get the principles first. And we've learned that, firstly, that money is a good gift from God. And because of that, it's therefore possible to use money in a way that pleases God. Okay? So you've got money, it's a good gift, you can use it to please God. Principle one. Secondly, we must not love money or it will destroy us. You had that in your devotions this week, I think. Therefore, we must present our lives together, body and soul, including all of our money in principle, to God as a living sacrifice on the altar of God's glory, for Him to do with it as He pleases. That's just what we've prayed. It's in principle what we've just sung. Jesus paid it all. All. That does include your money. All to Him I owe. Those are the basic principles. Last week's devotions were all about falling out of love with money. Okay? Teenagers are good at falling out of love and falling in love. Okay? We're meant to be good at falling out of love with money. That's what we learnt in these devotions. And we learnt that we're meant to do that by falling in love with God afresh, day by day. We spent a week considering the new life that Jesus brings us into. Clive's referred to that and helpfully brought reference to that as we've come to this point in the service. Money can't and won't give you that life. It promises you life, but it will fail you. Jesus can and does and will give you new life. Eternal life, abundant life, full life. Just want to ask you, as you went through this last week's devotions, did you find yourself being drawn to God's goodness? Do you find yourself being drawn towards God, falling in love with Him because of Jesus? Did you find yourself falling out of love with money? Thinking, why have I given my heart to this stuff? Did you find 10,000 reasons, as we sang last week, did you find 10,000 reasons for jumping body and soul together onto the altar of God's glory? Did you? Great. I'm taking it that you did. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Peter's smiling, he must have done. Excellent. That's in the recording, Peter. This week's devotions that are on the back on the table there, as you go towards the exit with the Bibles, they're all about how to stay in love with Jesus by keeping your heart free from the love of money. What Jesus refers to in one word, the love of money, he calls it greed. Okay, so this week in the devotions, you are going to wrestle with a mammoth giant called greed. He wants to destroy you. That's what this week's devotions are about. Please be sure to take one as you leave. I want to thank you all, and all of you who have been praying for me and my family this past week. And for those that don't know, my father's funeral was on Thursday. Your prayers have been rewarded by our gracious God. I want to say thank you for that. The day of my dad's funeral, Thursday, was a good day. God was honored as the author of life and death and the one who is full of amazing grace. Jesus was proclaimed as victor over death by his work on the cross and the freedom and forgiveness of sins being made available through him. The giver of new life, as we've been learning our devotions all week. And my dad was remembered as a man who trusted himself to this Jesus, who brought him forgiveness of sins and made a home for him in heaven. It was a good, God-glorifying, Christ-centered day. Thank you for your prayers. That's why we pray for one another. At the funeral service, my brother, Martin, my younger brother, he told a story about when Dad was visiting India in 1985, before some of you were born. He went on a trip with my uncle, and it was kind of visiting poor churches in southern India, Andhra Pradesh, tribal villages, widows and orphans everywhere, and they went to help minister the gospel and money to those people. Along the way, and this is not surprising to those who've been here, who've been to India, he fell ill, and he became very weak, and not having been very ill in his life, he thought he was close to death. He wondered if he might die, and he'd been laid up in a room and been there for a number of days, and a lovely gentleman was keeping him alive. And as he was coming back to his senses, he lay on his bed looking at the ceiling, and he noticed that on the ceiling was stuck all over with newspaper. That's how they decorated the ceiling there, with newspapers. And there was an advert that his eye was drawn to. It's an advert for a holiday company advertising an experience of paradise up there on the ceiling. And that advert made him think about his paradise. And when he recovered, he spent the rest of that trip at every opportunity communicating God's paradise to those tribal Indians. The wonder of heaven that's in Jesus, made available to us. And the question I want to start with this morning is as we think about this passage, is where is your paradise? Where is it? Paradise is a Persian loan word. It's imported from Persia. And it means a king's walled garden. A king would have a palace and have this great big estate, and it would be walled. No one could get in. It would be safe. And they'd have groundsmen keeping it. There'd be parkers looking after the park and so on and so forth. It would be beautiful. King's kingdom. Paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." The king giving entrance to his kingdom. An amazing place. Not just because of what's there, although that's going to be amazing, but also because the king is there. You're with the king in his garden. It's amazing. Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, is your king. Not just your savior. He's your king. And he has a kingdom. We pray for it. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And that kingdom is held out to us by King Jesus as our paradise. That's why we read in verse 33 of the passage, "Seek first the kingdom of God." It's his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom. Okay? Where is your paradise? Verse 33. Where is your paradise? Kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying. Some might say, well, my paradise is a beach in Thailand, a mountain resort in Switzerland, home by the sea, open fire in a little country cottage. We should be saying a future with Jesus in eternity is our paradise. We shouldn't have to think about it. Straight there. Where is your paradise? So that's your question for today. Okay? You need to think about it. Just work out what your answer is, your honest answer. Not the one you think people want you to say, but the one that you actually believe. And that's the question that lies behind verses 19 to 24 of Jesus' text here. Jesus saying, really, that our paradise, says, will be in one of two locations. It may be on this earth, verse 19, and in this life, or it may be in heaven, verse 20, and in the future. Why is this matter important to Jesus here? And it's very clear, and this children's song made it clear. Jesus knows that if our hearts are set on a paradise that's in heaven, if our paradise is the prospect of enjoying King Jesus in his kingdom, in his amazing new creation, the kingdom to come, then we will lay up treasures there. Because that's where we want to go. If you wanted to go on that holiday on that Indian advert, you'd have to save up the money to pay for it, wouldn't you? As it were. So this is the next question. Where are you laying up treasures? It's not singular, do you notice? Plural. Where are you laying up your treasures? Jesus is saying, I can find out where your paradise is by simply discovering where you bank. That's what Jesus is saying. If you bank on this earth, your idea of paradise is somewhere on this earth. Something that this earth will give you. It doesn't matter what you might say to others. You might go to church and sing the songs about heaven. But if you're banking and investing in earth, that's where your paradise is. That's where your heart is. Where you put your treasure is where your paradise is. If you bank in heaven, says Jesus, then I know that your paradise is my kingdom. And I am your king. And you love me. The question Jesus is leading you to ask, and hopefully some of you are asking it already, how on earth do I bank in heaven? Thought about that question? How on earth do you bank in heaven and lay up treasure? How do you do it? That's what Jesus wants you to ask. I think the first thing you must understand is that Jesus is talking about, he really is talking about you and your money, okay? So you don't suddenly spiritualize the text here. He's talking about money. And he's talking about what you do with your money now really matters. That's why we have verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. He's really talking about money here. Don't spiritualize this and make it about something else. It's your relationship with your money and where your heart is. Now, it's very obvious to anybody here, a child of 4 or 5 could answer the question, how do we put money in the bank on earth? Couldn't they? Possibly. Anyone in this room could. We do it old-fashioned ways. You can go to a deposit box, go to a till or whatever way, or do it all online. Something happens online these days, doesn't it? And money pops up in your account. It's obvious how we can get money into our accounts on this earth. We place deposits in our bank account. And the idea behind having our bank account is that our balance gets fatter and fatter. We accumulate more and more coming in. In. That's the idea of a bank account. In, really. I mean, you have to put some stuff out, but the idea is you keep getting more coming in. Banking on earth is essentially all about amassing money to yourself and into your account, with the idea of having it available to serve our earthly idea of paradise. But you say, I want to bank in heaven. I'm with Jesus on this one. I hope you all are. I really want to bank in heaven. I love Jesus. I want him as my king. I want to live in his kingdom in the perfect world to come. How do I bank with my earthly money in heaven? How do I do it? How do you do it? How do you bank with your earthly money in heaven? How do I put deposits in my heavenly bank account using my money? Good, isn't that? That's the question, this passage. The answer actually is extremely simple, but counterintuitive. You give it away. That's how you put money in the bank in heaven. You give it away here. You give it away in the service of Jesus and his kingdom. Every time you give, for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom, to the local church, that's primarily what's in view, the local church, to grow its common life of praise, welcome, and care, you are putting credit into your heavenly bank account. Don't believe me? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We read this recently. So Paul is thanking the Philippians for a gift of money that they have sent him. So they have made a great sacrifice and sent Paul money because he needed it, being concerned for him. And he says in verse 15, "You Philippians, you yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into a partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." And then verse 18, "I have received full payment, and more, I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent," gifts plural, "a fragrant offering, a sacrifice pleasing to God." And in verse 17, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift." So he's not saying I want your money. "But in giving me money," goes on, "I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." That's a financial word he uses there. There's credit deposited in the Philippians' bank in heaven because they gave to Paul. "Every time you give to me, you're placing a deposit in your heavenly bank account," says Paul. That's the relationship, the matter of giving and receiving in the kingdom, kingdom economics. That's why verses 25 to 33 in Matthew 6 follow on from this teaching. Do not be anxious. Because if you suddenly come into this life of the king and his kingdom, where you give your money away because you're looking forward to paradise, the first thing you're going to say is, how am I going to live? How am I going to put food on the table? What am I going to wear? And you can think of a million things to worry about instantly. That's because you have a worldly mindset. Jesus says, do not be anxious. Seek first the kingdom. Know where your paradise is. You can't love money and God. Give it away. In the cause of me and my kingdom, says Jesus. My Father will take care of you. He will. Some of you will have proved it. Others will not have proved it because you just haven't trusted him enough. Now, I've got an encouragement now and a warning to finish with. Encouragement to bank in heaven. Okay? In some way, we should need no further encouragement than the prospect of being with Jesus eternally to make us bank in heaven by giving our money away to the things that Jesus wants us to give it to. However, Jesus, when speaking of laying up treasures, is indicating that there's a reward every time we give. There are treasures being laid up for us when we give. In some way, we are going to have a bigger, better appreciation of Jesus and his glory as we store up more in heaven by giving our money away here. Don't ask me to explain that. Perfectly, I can't. But it's absolutely crystal clear from the New Testament there are rewards in paradise for those who obey Jesus in these things. That should motivate you to give more. Not to be satisfied with giving the little bit that you think is necessary, but sort of working out how you can give more, because you want more to come, in the world to come. Does that motivate you to do that? And also, just another little word for those who think, well, I'm not rich enough to give stuff away, I'm poor. You know, it's okay for the rich, they can store a massive bank account, but it doesn't work that way. Jesus says, any act of giving, generous giving, it could be a cup of water given to someone in Jesus' name, for the sake of Jesus, will receive a reward. Okay? So you may not have any money to give someone, but you've got a cup of water to share. When you share that, it goes noticed. Money in the bank, as it were, in heaven. No one has a reason for not storing up treasure in heaven. No one. Everyone gets their reward. Nothing will go unnoticed. You can imagine, can't you, that reward for somebody whose all they've got is a glass of water and they share that with someone, the reward is likely to be proportionately much larger than someone who has millions in the bank and shares 10,000 with someone, but holds on to 3 or 4 million. And then that brings us to the warning, really, not to bank on earth, and that's verses 22 to 23. So these verses are teaching us that if you're a Christian and you believe that you can store treasure on earth as well as in heaven, that's the danger. We think we can do both. We think we can have money in the bank here, and we think we can be laying up treasures in heaven there. And Jesus is saying categorically, you cannot do both. Can't serve God and money. You'll hate one and love the other, or vice versa. So here's a warning for those who believe that you can do both and walk away considering that God somehow is pleased with that attitude. He thinks you're somehow smart because you've managed to get your stuff, your paradise on earth, and you think you've got your paradise in heaven sorted. Well, Jesus is saying you need a spiritual eye test. Go and see an optician, Jesus says. See it here? The eye is the lamp of the body. Optical work required. Okay? You're going blind. If you see with your eyes your local church in need, or you see that your local church could develop and do more for God's work, if you see fellow believers in need, if you see the lost in need of the gospel, if you see those things and yet you neglect to do the good that you can with what you've got, and you neglect to share what you have, do not expect a pat on the back when you die from Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't have it both. Jesus is saying those who think they've got both are deceived by the love of money. How great is the darkness, says Jesus, brought on by that love. You think you're seeing everything clearly, but you're full of darkness. What a warning to those who are rich, or to any of us who think we're safe because we got money and we hold on to it. What would Jesus, the optician, say to you if you went to him and said, look, Jesus, I'm a bit afraid now that I may have been blinded by the love of money. What do you think he would say to you? I would suggest that we might go to Mark 10, where he says this to a rich young man. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And guess what? You will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. Jesus is not against banking. He just wants to make sure you choose a safe place to do it. Bank in heaven. So obvious. Bank on earth, it's all going to go to ruin. Moths and thieves and all that stuff we saw the children doing. Everything you lay up in heaven will last forever and be rewarded forever. Where is your paradise? Where you bank provides you with the answer. How much time do you spend daydreaming about how this life would be better if you had more money in your bank account on earth? How much time and energy do you devote to working out how you could live more simply so that you could give more money away to the cause of Jesus? Did you do that this week with this gift, special gift we had today? Did you think, oh, there's a special gift coming today. I'm going to rearrange my circumstances so I can give more. That's the attitude of a person whose paradise is heaven. A person whose paradise is earth didn't even think about it. Didn't register as an opportunity. Do you see? This is where Jesus is really cutting to the quick. Bank in heaven, says Jesus. Store up treasure for eternity, says Jesus. Give money to his kingdom, says Jesus. Start to live generously now. Don't regret it. Amen.